Welcome to the What a Job podcast, where we delve into the inspiring world of women in operations. In each episode, we sit down with incredible women who are forging a successful career as the driving force behind some of the largest companies and projects in Australia. Learn about the jobs they do, the career paths they have taken, and their passion for operations. Get ready to be motivated by the journeys, challenges, and triumphs of these remarkable women. For more information on this or any other episode, visit www.nawo.org.au.
Respect for diversity, equity, inclusion and belonging is core to Nawo's purpose. And Nawo holds deep respect for the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander heritage, culture, strength, resilience and spiritual connection to the land on which we gather to connect, learn and share. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of all the First Nations of this land, and we pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging. This podcast is recorded on Wurundjeri land and produced on Darug land.
It is a delight to have our guest, Natalie Zhraba, here to talk to us about her job and what a job she has. Natalie works for Bort Longyear, and she is in an awesome EHS role. And prior to joining Bort, she was an operations manager at Sodexo, and she's the classic example of somebody who probably never thought she was going to land in operations when she was studying, and her career has taken her in really exciting directions. So Natalie is big on inclusion and on obviously culture, whether that be safety culture or organisational culture more broadly. And it's a delight to have you here, Nat, to have a chat and talk about the work that you do. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Louise, for that welcoming speech. Yes, it has been an interesting journey in the world of operations for good old Nat here, considering nothing that I've studied at university has anything to do with what I do right now.
And I love that because, you know, it just shows that it's capability, you know, not necessarily what you've studied or where you've come from that is important in having a successful career in operations. And I can't stress that strongly enough for everybody who might want to give some other aspect of operations a good red hot go.
Exactly. Completely agree.
To start with, Nat, I'm going to ask you, if you were describing your job in EH&S with Bort Longyear to your grandparents, how would you go about that?
That's a very interesting question there, Louise. Interestingly enough, when I first took this role on, I was trying to explain it to my dad, and he was sort of like, still don't kind of fully get that. I suppose one of the key factors with my role is that it's very dynamic. There's always, you know, 101 things that are going on in the space, but realistically, you know, EHST, which is Environment, Health, Safety and Training, which is a key component now with all of our regulatory requirements across any business that's operating in Australia, is there to provide support, I suppose, you know, and that's probably how I, you know, think about it as a position, is that I'm a support person for our whole entire APAC region, which includes operations that are in Indonesia and Laos and across Australia. And, you know, it is that regulatory component. However, from my perspective, it's actually more about the culture and driving a safety culture and the safety behaviours that we want to see within our personnel and that we want to see come through in other areas of our business. Because to me, building a culture about safety is actually more than just safety. It's the whole entity of the business that it can completely change. So I suppose, you know, when I talk to my father about what I do, yes, I run a business. I run, you know, I support operational leaders. I support my internal team of EHST personnel that are out in the field or here in different offices. I do need to be on top of compliance and what's required as a business to be able to continue operating and make sure that various sectors, whether it's our products team, our actual drilling services team, or even our new Veracio team, on what they need to do to ensure that they're providing a safe work environment for all of their employees. So it's kind of quite dynamic, but it's really good fun.
Absolutely. And how many people are in your team?
My team's actually quite a small team because I've always believed that safety and, you know, health and wellbeing should always be delivered from the actual leadership teams out there. So from my perspective, we are a support personnel. So we have, I think, in total, including my counterparts over in Asia, there's around about 20 people that sit under myself. So it's not a huge team, but we do have a lot to get through and a lot that we undertake.
And is the international component of the business Does that present unique challenges from a safety perspective?
Almost definitely. It does have challenges in terms of, you know, ensuring that our actual CEO and our board of directors, et cetera, understand that Australia has quite high standards. It's also about ensuring that we can share those across to various areas of our business. You know, there are in certain areas of our business, you know, a higher standard or expectations that's required. For example, in Canada, there's a few legislative requirements there that, you know, are of a higher standard. So it's about working to that higher standard at all times or as much as possible, I suppose. So it has unique challenges in that sort of sense. But because we've sort of given from a global perspective very much an opportunity to really focus on our regions and not be, you know, dictated from a global level as to what is right and what's, you know, not right, it gives us that opportunity to certainly ensure that we are operating under the correct compliance and regulatory requirements here in, you know, Australia. But then I also make sure that from an Australian perspective, we're undertaking the exact same across in our Asia business as well. Because to me, if you've got one standard somewhere, you should be having it everywhere to ensure that everybody's going home safe every single day.
Yeah, absolutely. And for everybody who's not maybe as familiar with your industry, could you just give us a little rundown about what Boart Longyear do?
Boart Longyear is one of the oldest drilling services providers, you know, as a service provider. We work in the mining industry specifically when it comes to our actual drilling operations. We also, though, manufacture our actual drill rigs. So we have manufacturing plants in China and in Poland. We also create all of the componentry, so all of the drill bits and rods, et cetera, associated to that. So we have a complete products team. And then on top of that, we also have our geological data survey team, which then assess all of the actual rock that gets pulled out of the ground, basically. So it's a really overarching operation in terms of, you know, what we actually undertake is from beginning to end of actual the entire drilling process.
And your pathway to this role has been an interesting one. We alluded to it a little in the intro, but can you just run through how your pathway has curved around and how you've landed in this role and some of the decision points that you've made?
Certainly, it has been an interesting one. I must admit, I did start later in life in mining. So it was only probably 13, 14 years ago that I actually commenced. And I moved into being a service provider, working with a few companies that provide, I suppose, camp, village life, you know, all of your transits and logistics in regards to that. So that was a very interesting phase. And, you know, I know more about food safety than I think anybody else under the sun. But still, but you know, from there, I moved into some senior operational roles, I suppose. But then I'm a big believer in transferring knowledge and I don't keep anything to myself. So, and you know, I always say you don't know what you don't know. So if people ask me a question, I will give them the answer. I don't believe in sitting there and hoarding information. But I'm also a big believer in asking the questions myself as well. So from there, I sort of used to ask the question as to why is it, you know, we're training our leaders to understand P&Ls, we're training our leaders to understand how to, you know, put a plan together and put actions together, how to run an event, how to make sure that the logistics of a cyclone, are, you know, pre-planned, et cetera, and things like that, which is fantastic. But then we've got this high incident rate or, you know, high injury rates. And from my perspective, it's like, you know, we've got to get out there in the field and really understand what does safety mean to our leaders? So when I was actually working with Sodexo, I put it to them that, you know, we needed to get a consultant in to look at our safety culture and to really encourage our leadership to understand that safety culture will develop their whole entire culture, which will reduce your turnover, it will reduce, you know, your incidents on site, will provide you for a better, you know, perspective as a business. Your client's going to be much more satisfied with you because you're, you know, able to actually focus on the real ins and outs of the business rather than focusing on what's been happening and trying to rectify and constantly be reactive. And so interestingly enough, you put this towards a business and they're like, oh, well, why don't you do that? So I took the sidestep from being, you know, operations into a safety leader training sort of role, safety leadership development role. And from there, developed a lot of our, you know, senior leaders, our operational leaders that were outside, and then also looked at, you know, the next level of leaders, and then also looked at the actual teams, you know, and changing their way of thoughts when it comes to safety or their behaviors in the workplace and how it can all, you know, make an impact at the end of the day. You know, if we're not feeling positive about ourselves being in a workplace, then we're less likely to actually work 100%. So undertook that for a few years and really, really enjoyed it. And then randomly was provided with another opportunity to go back into another senior operational role. So jumped over the fence again. and took that on and loved it to the nth degree and had some really big projects in that space. But I suppose deep down in myself, I knew that the safety, health and well-being of our people is the most important thing in any business. And we are all reliant, specifically in operational businesses, we're reliant on our personnel. Mm. So when an opportunity was sort of presented to me to, you know, apply for a role at Boart Longyear in this role, I completely honestly had complete self-doubt because, you know, I'm not a degree holder in safety. I don't have mega track record in this space or anything of the likes. But interestingly enough, when, it, you know, being interviewed and discussing it with the senior leaders here in this business, it was very much they wanted somebody who was going to drive that cultural change. Not just from a safety perspective, but from a behavioral perspective, from a, you know, unique internal perspective of even EDI. So it was certainly something that as soon as I took the role on, I must admit, I feel like my passion was reborn again back into what I believe in, which is developing the right cultures and, you know, assisting our teammates and our colleagues to actually want to achieve in that space and ask the questions.
So what does it every day look like for you in your job? Can you kind of give us a day in the life?
Look, everything is just so dynamic. It can be quite reactive, I'll be honest. It's also a lot of planning and a lot of compliance and also, you know, just those aspects of, you know, I've still got senior leaders that I report to from a global perspective. Some days my day will start super early because of that, right, or end super late. Yes. So it's always, you know, quite a juggle. But a lot of it is, like I sort of mentioned before, it's about knowledge sharing. You know, people come and ask questions consistently about different areas or, you know, what do you think of this or how does this work? And, you know, what reference should I utilize for that? So a lot of that is, you know, when people ask those questions, it's about joining the dots for them or, you know, giving them the right direction to head into to find the right answers, I suppose. And then another key aspect, I suppose, of my role is sort of that investigation and making sure that we're up to date with what's going on, but also, you know, investigating how we can better improve our activities out in the field or here in the offices or out in our workshops to get the best outcomes for the business. And that's not just in a safety perspective, that's actually looking at how can we as a business better improve? How can we better improve and work with our clients? And so a lot of it's relationship building, it's relationship sharing, and it's just every single day is just so dynamic. You just never know if somebody stubbed their toe and maybe they need some further assistance. It could actually, you know, be something whereby, you know, there's been a small change in our legislation that needs to be rectified across our entire work units. So it's just an ongoing constant creative day.
Absolutely. And yeah, really the hours of work quite intense from like servicing a global organization. But is there sort of flexibility in how that's able to be done?
Most definitely. I'm very blessed. And it was sort of a requirement that I talked about before I commenced is having flexibility in the workplace. And that's something that I love about Boart Longyear is that it's evident that it's not just for women. It's, you know, not just a woman's right to be able to be flexible, but we have a lot of males. We are a male-dominated industry at the end of the day. And with our gents, they still have that flexibility. We have, you know, dads that come in at 9:30 because they're doing morning school drop-offs and things like that. So, and being global, we've always sort of had that componentry of being flexible in that sort of level. And I must admit, you know, some days it's a 3 a.m. rise because I've got a 3:30 morning meeting and you're slapping on a face and trying to look slightly decent and have six coffees before you start. But, you know, there's that flexibility again of being able to work from home for that day potentially or, you know, finishing up early or whatever it may be. And I suppose I'm also quite lucky in terms of having great management that are very supportive of that.
Is there much travel in your job?
There is. So my mantra is always to get to every single site every year that sits in my region. And the purpose of that is that senior leadership on sites makes a huge difference to the people. They feel like there's the extended business actually does care. And when I head to site, it's not just a one day in and out visit. It's, you know, 3 or 4 days. I've been known to spend weekends on site so I can learn more about drilling. I've been known to travel all sorts of places as well. So, you know, just this year I was over in Laos and spent again, you know, 6 days on site, really getting to understand the people. That was always fun with the translation requirements, but, you know, it's about building those relationships that give people then the faith that Boart Longyear isn't just telling us what we should do, but is actually there supporting them in what they do.
Terrific. What's most challenging about your role?
You know, I think my challenges in my role are actually me. I have quite a high expectation as to what I can and cannot achieve. And I'm a little bit of a perfectionist on the side there. And so from my perspective, I always kind of want to see outcomes quickly. I'd like to see, you know, the right outcomes as well on an ongoing basis. And I just feel that I never have enough hours in the day. So that's probably my greatest challenge. But, you know, I must admit, secondary to that would be also working in a male-dominated environment where we're only just really pushing and building. And I'm very proud to say that Boart Longyear has 14.7% female drillers and DAs out there in the actual field, which is absolutely fantastic. I think we're leading the way there big time. But it is challenging when you know, are walking into meetings on a consistent basis where everybody else is male and you're the only woman in there. And that does pose a challenge to an extent. So you've got to sort of build your self-esteem really quite quickly and just go, right, you know, I am who I am. But I think it's also really rewarding at the same time because I know that I have the respect and people do respect me for what I provide back to the business, which I think is really good. So, but my greatest challenge would be myself, definitely.
Often the way, isn't it? Like if we just stepped out of our own way sometimes with things and we're a bit kinder to ourselves, we might overcome some of that. I can definitely relate and also relate to the, you know, I think the challenge for everyone working in a male-dominated space is being able to still be yourself and not try to mask or blend in and become, you know, something that you're not. I think that's probably the hardest part. Would you agree with that?
Most definitely. And I think as well, when you first are in that environment, you do tend to try to blend in and just become a little bit of the, you know, the norm. But then if you really look at yourself, which I suppose I have done over my lifetime, is looked at myself and gone, just a minute, that's not me. That's not who I am. And if I don't show my vulnerability or, you know, be open about the fact that, yes, I have smarts about certain things and start talking about those, then you're not doing yourself any favours. You're certainly not doing your esteem. You're not giving yourself that right opportunity to actually develop. And I think the more you, and it is something about, I think, my role progression over the time and, you know, the chops and changes is by speaking out, by asking the questions. You know, I've never held back. I've always sort of said, you know, what about this? And why shouldn't we do that? And, you know, that's how I've ended up jumping fences a few times. You know, the more we're open to ourselves in being who we are, the further people within our organizations actually recognize the benefit of somebody like that.
Absolutely. Bringing the diversity to the table, as uncomfortable as that can be sometimes, can often act in our favor at the end of the day. So if you had one bit of advice for your younger self, what would that be?
My younger self, that feels like many moons ago. look, I think it would be don't hold back and don't be influenced by opinion, to be honest. You know, I think it's always really imperative that, yes, it's ideal to listen to constructive criticism, but opinion's a different factor. You know, and I think that in many ways, I probably started my adventures a little bit, you know, I was started probably in my 30s when I think about it, of working into a role like this. And from my perspective, I probably spent those first years of my 20s kind of going, oh, I don't have the confidence. I don't have the degree. I don't have the rights. I don't have the, you know, it was a bit of a self-esteem factor there, but just don't hold back. Go for it. There's every opportunity out there. If you don't ask the questions, you're certainly not going to get where you want to be.
Love that. And I think that the story you've told today about how you're asking of questioning your curiosity about other aspects of the business has actually led to you creating your own path and creating positions that didn't exist before. And I think this is the beauty of operations. That happens a lot. From my experience, when I was working in manufacturing, curious people ended up in amazing positions because they actually created them for themselves. And I think there's a bit of magic that everybody needs to hear and learn from your story in that regard. So thank you for sharing today. Yes, for safety. And if you want a career in safety, don't hold back. Now, Thank you so much for being willing to join us today and talk about your amazing job.
Thank you, Louise.
The What a Job podcast is brought to you by NAWO, the National Association of Women in Operations. To find resources to help you build your career in operations, or to find out how NAWO can support your organization in achieving gender balance in operations, visit www.nawo.org.au.